You are listening to MSP 1337, a podcast dedicated to helping MSPs and their clients navigate cybersecurity. Security maturity is a journey, but that doesn't mean you have to travel alone. I'm your host, Chris Johnson, and I want to personally thank you for joining us today. Before we jump into the show, I would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, MSP Ignite. MSP Ignite offers a peer group experience that is unique to managed service providers in the technology industry. If you are serious about implementing a model for success through sharing and collaboration of best practices, this is the best way to do it. Head on over to msp-ignite.com today to find out more. Now on with the show. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of MSP 1337, Alignment Between Vendors and MSPs. Today, I have Colin Knox of Gradient with us. Welcome, Colin.
Hey, Chris. Happy to be here.
Hey, it's been a few short weeks since we last spoke, and the conversation we had that has not been able to really leave my head is vendors and MSPs and that alignment. And I know there's things in your world that you're cooking up that may fall into alignment with this conversation today. But honestly, yeah. This has nothing to do with Gradient. This is you and I have known each other for a long time in the IT MSP world, which we'll say is more than 60 seconds. I mean, this is a short-lived space.
We've known each other at least 2 weeks.
At least. I think I stalked you on LinkedIn and you said you'd be my friend. I've known you, 5+ years at least. And it's been a while. Yeah. So through serving together on the CompTIA Security Executive Council and among other areas of volunteering in the space. So I thought we should talk about security in the context of vendor and MSP alignment. What expectations make sense? Who burdens or shoulders responsibility when we are looking to implement a new product or solution? And maybe you have an answer to this. I hope you have an answer to this. It'd be great. How should MSPs go about making decisions that involve onboarding new vendors, particularly in a space that's relatively new?
Yeah. Well, I think there's so much that goes into it all, right? Like, I think the first thing that needs to be kind of said, especially when it comes to any type of security services, is realize as an MSP what you are not. And in a lot of cases, you are not a managed security service provider. You are not the MSSP. And that could be for very good reason, because there's a lot of extra liability that comes alongside with that, and a lot more level of accountability. And let's just say you don't want to be the one that's completely on the hook if something gets through or something bad goes wrong, right? So I think that's one of the areas where this is, you know, as important as ever to find the right partner to align yourself with to deliver that service. And in many cases, you know, you can find a channel only company that can deliver a service like that, and make sure that you're not fully white labeling maybe that to your clients. And you can say, look, we're the ones that are partnering. We're managing that company on your behalf. We're dealing with them, making sure that everything's going right, but it's not us doing that work. So that at least the buck doesn't completely stop with you. You can still be painted maybe with a certain brushstroke if something goes wrong, but at the end of the day, you want to be able to pass that crap upstream, so to speak.
So some level of transparency between what you're offering your clients and the resources or subscriptions or vendors that are helping you deliver, which kind of gets into be able to limit your risk on the services that are needed. And in some cases, it doesn't, as you're saying, it may not even make sense to say, you know, you're writing a check to me as opposed to this vendor or third party, because it is different, right? It is a third party providing a service that I do not provide. I go back in time to when white labeling was the bee's knees, right? Like, hey, look, and we're channel only, you can white label our product. No one knows that we exist. And it's like, yeah, we even did it a little bit, I think, with Exchange and Bez modeling, right? Like that was, everything. We didn't say Microsoft, right? We just said, this is our mail solution, which is interesting because you fast forward and nobody wants to say that they're quote, my version of 365, right? Like it's, well, we say Microsoft. You know
what? Like, let's be real for a second here. We did it too in our MSP, right? Like we actually went the extra mile. So we were Datto partners. And I remember when these appliances showed up that we were going to start deploying out there. And then they had the Datto little badge on it. We took the flathead screwdriver and like popped that Datto badge off. Got our own sticker and said, nope, this is Excel's box.
We did the same thing with Supermicro.
When we had a little backup issue, you know, early on, guess who got their butts kicked by it instead of being able to say, well, we've got this partner that does it. And, you know, we just, so that was not so good. Right. And on the other side, like, again, if we look at the demographics here, 90% of our space is 10 employees and under is the size of the MSPs, right? What's the likelihood that a 10 person MSP had the budget, R&D capability and capacity to engineer, you know, a bona fide solution for backup and disaster recovery, some security monitoring technology, you know, intelligent, whatever, you know? Yeah, it's possible, but you're not going to have that same level of confidence going to your clients who know that maybe you're 4 or 5 person shop, sure, 2 person shop or 10, that you had the millions of dollars available to properly engineer, architect, secure and protect that solution, right? Unlikely. So this is where you can leverage the big names and they can go and they can look them up. And this comes down to MSP and vendor alignment, right? You need to have that trust, but the vendor has to earn that trust too, that you're willing to put that out there and say, this is who we use for the service, so that they can go as your clients. And should they have concern, should they not be 100% convinced, and read through the white papers, understand how it's been architected, see the security and compliances that they hold, all of that type of stuff, so that, okay, now they've got that confidence that they can trust that this is going to be a good solution.
Wasn't that the balancing act? Because I know I remember doing some pfSense boxes, and let me tell you, I disassembled the whole thing. I had a case of pumpkin orange spray paint from Lowe's, and they were branded our company. I mean,
good untangled. Old untangled.
That's right. They were done, man. And you know, in a couple cases, I thought it was going to bite us. We got lucky because they recognized that we weren't hiding that it was pfSense on the boxes. Yeah. We were just wanting them to know that we had branded the hardware. Ours. Yeah. Yep. So, which means we also got them back when they were, you know, no longer our client or they upgraded. So,
yeah.
But along those lines, I think that you said something that I think is really like, this is critical. The alignment isn't necessarily about between me as the MSP and the vendor. There's also a level of alignment that says, Mr. Customer, client, whatever you want to call them, you have an understanding that we use vendor XYZ. Microsoft is a good example because everybody's got it in the equation to say, hey, if you're not willing to implement the E5 or the whatever it is, the security ATP, whatever it might be, it's unique to the stack you're offering. You've got to have some indemnifications. You got to be able to show, hey, if you're not willing to have us put this, their product to the full extent that they should be deployed, then we've got to have some sort of understanding that you can't hold me liable if something does go wrong.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you even look at that alignment, like the product and the partner doesn't just have to be right for you as the MSP, that product has to be right with that offering for the end client as well. Because every client's going to have some unique stances. I mean, you know, snowflakes. This might be, there always is. Everybody likes to be a little bit special, right?
That's right.
But, I mean, I look back to our MSP and hardware wise, like workstation servers, we led with Dell. Now we were still partnered with HP and Lenovo because we had the odd client that said, no, her corporate standard is that brand, right? And so we needed to do it. And they had all their other reasons, whether they, you know, we had one client who adamantly they would never deal with HP because they had bought like $200,000 worth of lemons out of that, right? And just didn't work. So one bad experience painted that company for its lifetime. But you need to be cognizant that, you know, is the SaaS backup portion of your predominant backup partner the right solution for, you know, your client? You know, there's some that only support M365 or only support G Suite, or, you know, maybe their SaaS backup isn't to the same caliber as their regular near line into cloud backup stuff. who knows? You have to fit the right partner to the solution, or the right solution to the problem that's going on. And it's not always going to be a one size fits all. So you need to watch and almost, you know, liaise that bridge of what needs to happen between your end clients and what their needs are, and the right vendor and the right partner to deliver it. So,
and I think that it goes beyond just one vendor in some cases. So this week has already started out pretty poorly for a large, colorful branded company that also has a search engine attached to them, as they were out Monday morning with, services ranging from video type subscription service to mail. And so, if you don't know that, that's Google. I was really hiding it there for a second, right?
I was on the edge of my seat waiting to hear who it was.
Who is it?
Please tell me.
Please tell me, because I want to make sure that I'm not using that vendor. No, funny enough, like Microsoft a few weeks back had same problem. Amazon had similar, issues. So this goes back to, and I bring it up now because vendor alignment doesn't necessarily mean vendor perfect.
No, and it's not always product perfect, right? It's so much about that partner experience, man. Like, let's face it, almost any product is nowadays just about an apples to apples comparison. There's the odd solution that maybe stands above because they've got some special feature or some other patent on something. But at the end of the day, the bulk of the products, they all do the same thing.
Client-facing, they do for sure.
Like, who's going to stand behind the product the most, right? Who are you going to have the most confidence in that when things stumble or aren't going so perfect with the product or the offering, that you can trust that they're going to work alongside you to get things right and to solve things with and for the client, and not stand out in a game of, finger pointing and whatever else. It's those times and how they're going to support you, how they're going to enable you, how they're going to empower you to be successful. That's the most important.
Hey, this morning I had our entire phone system stop taking inbound or outbound calls. You could call extension to extension, but no inbound or outbound. So we're thinking like really complex network issues. No, literally the VM that manages all the licensing just needed to be rebooted. And everything came back online. So it's like, I could really make a scene about the phone system and you know, calling support to the vendor, support to, which in this case is kind of a co-managed IT scenario where we have one service provider that handles just our phones. And, they immediately jumped in there, started troubleshooting. And we're literally sitting there going, do we need to maybe just reboot the VM? And we're kind of hem-hawing back and forth, this is going on 30 minutes of no one can make phone calls, and it's like, well, what's the worst that's going to happen, right? Like, which is kind of similar to like all of these conversations that we have about vendors that we're going to use in our unique environments, to say what are the expectations of on-demand support services. Like, as a client, can I call the vendor? Do I need to call you, the MSP, first? Because I think that's important to have that cleared up and out of the way, because if I know who the vendor is, I might decide to call them, right? Like, and if there's clarity in the conversation between me, the client, and you, the MSP, to go, hey, Chris, it's okay if you call the vendor direct in this particular case. Like, I know I've had experiences where as a client, I've called Datto and had my MSP get really frustrated. And I'm like, what did it hurt for me to call support to have them fix a problem on an appliance that you're managing? I get it, but me calling you would have turned into you calling them.
Yeah, it would have taken time away from the MSP, right? On their flat rate contract.
Right.
So, yeah, I think, you need to have that full trust, that accessibility and everything else. But I think the one thing that you brought up that's an interesting point and kind of gave me one of those great flashbacks to when I was running Path Portal, was that you had this outage and especially in the realm of cloud services, it doesn't matter actually whether it's cloud or it's a product or whatever, no product is perfect, right? There's bugs in Microsoft solutions still, there's bugs in Apple products, there's bugs in everything. And with the cloud, there's always an opportunity and the potential that the solution is going to go down or be offline, right? You can put in a whole bunch of redundancies and mitigate the potential of disruption or the timeline or how long it is, but stuff's going to go down. After all, like most of us are signing agreements that say we're fine with 4 nines of uptime as an SLA or 5 nines, right? It still means you are going to have unplanned outages throughout the year, right? Like that's the reality of it. And at Passportal, I know we stumbled with some outages early on and stuff. And so we had an outage, which had been the first one in a long time. And some of our partners said, nope, can't stand to be offline. It's too impactful on my business. And they hopped over to another, competitive solution because they figured that that would never happen there. Well, in that specific scenario of the one that we had, within a month, that competitor had like an 8-hour outage. And then all these people came back to us. And it was like, you keep, as an MSP, hopping back and forth. And I even remember with us, as an MSP, we would do the same thing. But at some point, what's the disruption to your clients on switching? What's the cost to your business on switching all the time? Instead of like, again, finding that alignment, working with your partner to say, what have you learned from this? What actions have you taken to mitigate it? Maybe show me, what your setup is so that I have the confidence that you have taken every possible, endeavor to make sure that it's as reliable a service as possible, instead of jumping all over the place and causing that. So
Colin, I think this gets into where I think discernment comes into play. I think as an MSP, discernment is extremely, it's like one of the biggest tools we have that sometimes we forget about. So I think about, how easy it is. I might go to an ASCII event or I onboard one of those smaller vendors. The client's never heard this name before. I have a great relationship. We're working side by side to deliver to the client. And I make a judgment call that says, we're not going to do the update yet because the Passportal MSP or whatever the vendor might be is just not ready in this client facing scenario to just go and do that and deal with potential ramifications. But what's really important that we forget is we still have to use discernment when we're dealing with the vendors that everybody knows about. So I had this conversation just recently where the recommendation was from a security standpoint, it was tied to network share versus NTFS permissions. And you go, I got the Microsoft best practices on the one hand, and the client is literally saying to me, we're following Microsoft best practices, so we're going that direction. And I'm arguing and saying, but that's not the way that as an MSP that I would recommend it, because that's just not the more secure way of doing it. In fact, the example that we finally gave was having the front door to your house unlocked, but going, I lock all of the rooms. Probably not the best example of security, right? Because if this was a bank or some other entity where there's lots of valuable things inside, you wouldn't say, hey, I know you're a bad guy, but we're only going to let you hang out in the lobby.
Well,
everything else off limits.
You know, what's funny too, is like, how often do best practices actually change? Like,
never.
If you look at the top of the, if you look at the top, it's like last updated this date. It doesn't say what updated. They may have replaced the whole freaking best practice document or whatever else, or recommendation, right? Like, things are always shifting. And that's the one thing about IT, is it's so dynamic that things are always changing. So it's too funny to recognize that you do need to discern things. And when you said like, a lot of the big names just get this bypass of like, hey, well, you're X, so you just, your name earned my trust, right?
It's false. And it's false. And here's why. Because in the same vein, how many MSPs do you think apply critical Microsoft patches immediately because they've been posted?
Zero.
Exactly. So in the same vein, you would then turn around and tell me that, oh, well, when it comes to setting up network shares, I follow best practices. So the reason I bring that up is I think this comes back to, it doesn't matter if the vendor's big or small, if they're sponsoring the Olympics or if they're a no-namer, you're the trust factor in the equation with the client. And if the trust factor is the vendor, you may have some serious misalignment, because if something does happen, just because they say, oh, I trust Microsoft, well, that shouldn't be the only one in the equation.
It doesn't matter, right? Like,
right.
Imagine my life back in 2011 when we started Passportal and leading forward. Like, we were nobodies, and here we were with trying to convince people to put their most privileged assets in our cloud, right?
You hadn't found your superpower yet.
We hadn't found our superpower yet. Maybe we did. We weren't ready to tell the world.
You weren't in control of your powers yet.
Right? We didn't. We weren't ready for the responsibility that came with it.
You were early on one of the Lost Boys.
What was funny is we'd have conversations with MSPs and we'd say, okay, well, where are you storing your passwords today that you have this such innate trust for? And 8 or 9 times out of 10, it was in their PSA. Cloud managed, by the way, and cloud hosted. And so we'd come back and say, okay, well, which PSA was it? And it at that time was kind of irrelevant because we'd go back and say, okay, so here's the thing. Did you know that those credentials where you're storing them are not encrypted? So they're stored in plain text alongside all the rest of the data. Did you know that that vendor does not have a SOC 2 Type 2 or ISO 27001 certification? We do. And do you realize, you know, all of these things? And then they'd look at it and they'd be like, holy crap. But you're more at risk doing it in the, you know, current way that you're doing it than considering maybe a smaller unknown vendor to you, but here's the proof points. And, you know, after that, you start bringing some of these things to light, it started to transform the way that MSPs looked at things and started considering security. But, you know, I am concerned like you that we're falling back into this pattern of habit, or just, you know, somehow this earned trust based on a name without actually digging in to understand that alignment level. And same thing as an MSP, like they're often expecting their clients and prospects to blindly trust them to take certain things and to be in charge of certain things. Like, you know, this is where you can find some of that superpower, that key strategic advantage or differentiator, by being able to show the third party validation of what it is that you're offering.
So vendor alignment, I think you bring up a really good point. So vendor alignment is truly MSP aligning vendors behind the scenes to be client facing, to say, hey, this is what we're doing and here's why. And you bring up something really important, I think, and that is I have to have, as an MSP, a game plan that says, I trust this vendor because of the third-party validation, like you're saying. And that trust comes with a verification tag, right? I'm not just trusting vendor X because, and we keep saying the big names, but who foresaw FireEye getting compromised?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not on the table for any of us as MSPs. And we may not be using FireEye, but we're using somebody similar. And so it's not if, it's when. So when are we having those conversations with our clients to say, these things can happen even though they are a big vendor? And so tomorrow, if I screw up, or if you, the client, screws up, are you going to be looking immediately, how do I hop to the next vendor, the next MSP? Yeah. Are you going to look at, how do I work through this to ensure that it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, because absolutely.
Jumping ship, to me, just like you said about disruption, sounds more complicated and more disruptive than working through it. I realize there's going to be exceptions, but the reality is no MSP is perfect.
No, nothing is perfect, right?
Unless you've sold.
What's to say that, you know, wherever you're jumping to with this emotional reaction generally, which is what it is going to be better than what you're... Have you taken the time to discern your options for a new partner and review and evaluate and pilot and test? No, I'm going with this one and that's where we're going. And you may not even have looked into here. They've had way more outages. They've also recently been compromised. They've had whatever else, right? And it's just this, often our decisions are blinded or fuzzed with just this emotional urgency to make a change. Like, it's like our clients, we have this assumption that our clients expect us to take immediate action to change this. And the only way that we can get their confidence back is by saying, we've switched vendors.
Right.
Well, that's not always the right recourse. It's, I've held that vendor accountable, or I've gotten, here's the system outage report from that vendor that also shows everything and you know, what happened, how they found it, how they fixed it, and how it's not going to happen again.
And that's in our businesses, right?
That we've gotten that. Exactly. Like, if a client's network has an outage, they expect that from us. They're not saying like, off to the next MSP who's maybe just as bad or just as good or whatever. Like the famous thing, right, that we always said as an MSP is every MSP sucks to a certain degree, right? We just suck less. Right. You know, that was our whole thing. And it's the reality is issues are going to happen. It doesn't matter who you are, but giving that communication about what's happened, how you're holding accountable, what changes you've made. And that isn't always I've changed vendor or I've changed product or whatever else. It's I've looked further into it. Maybe you've added a supplemental redundancy on the other side. Who knows?
Well, look at the consumer world example of the Target fiasco. How many people stopped shopping at Target after they announced that they had the huge breach? How many of the box stores that are like Target? Okay,
actually, you did. It's just because they left Canada, so I couldn't even shop there anymore.
Well, they left you, so they did the opposite, right? They're like, because we have this happen, we're leaving our consumers behind. But along those lines, if you think about box stores in the time that this happened to Target, how many other box stores are gone that never had a breach or if they did, no one knows about the breach and they're just gone. So we still shopped at Target, right? Like there, most people still came and went and said, yep, that bad things happen. I'll be fine. You know, it's not going to happen to me. So I think we need to a little bit with a grain of salt, maybe as we evaluate whether we're going to leave a vendor or not, or leave an MSP or not, it's kind of the same mindset, right? Like why didn't you leave Target? Like, do you believe that Target was going to make changes to make that not happen again? Probably.
I think, you know what, like I don't remember the exact statistic now, so I'm just going to make it up and make that the new statistic.
There you go.
This is where customer experience or partner experience is so vital, right? Like there's that reality that those people who get a better customer or partner experience are more likely to give a vendor the benefit of the doubt when something goes wrong. Those who don't have a good experience, it's something ridiculous, like, you know, an immediate loss of 30% of your business. And I think 60 or 70% over the period of 6 to 12 months. Right.
Yeah. Whereas I go back to the first episode on ransomware with Brian Weiss, where he talked about what he went through and of his, I think he had 34 total accounts and he lost two. And he was quick to say one of those was probably already on the way out the door. And the second one made it clear that, hey, this just isn't working. And so the fact that he retained those other 32, I think, is a testament to the relationship that was important.
Big time.
That should be
big
important time. To all MSPs is like, if you've got a client on your list that you're taking money from and for part of the services you deliver, you better be evaluating how well you are staying in their faces as I'm your friend. Yeah. I'm your, you know, confidant. I mean, you're all these things to them. And while you may not be the security guru or you may not even be great at doing, you know, the VCIO quarterly QBR type stuff, but as long as you're there and you're constantly having the conversation with them, they're going to at least talk to you first.
Yeah.
Can you ask for any more than that?
This comes down to that word about like partner. If you're a supplier, if you're a vendor, if you're whatever, those are so easy to rip and replace.
Right.
But when you establish yourself as a partner in the business, so you look at the MSP world, we've got like the vendors and the MSPs, and we always call them as our channel partners or MSP partners, right?
They're an extension of our team.
It is an extension. They're a channel sales, you know, organization or group that's out there doing stuff. And they're the ones supporting our vendor solutions. And they're the ones that are marketing and broadcasting and doing all of that stuff. We just have to supply really good support on the back end and really good products for them to deliver, right? Well, it's the same thing as an MSP. Don't just be that supplier to your clients, right? Align yourself, establish yourself as a partner in business, just like they would with any, you know, if you look at other professional services, so business management consulting, they don't establish themselves as suppliers. They're partners.
Right.
Look at their executive search firms that are, or any kind of, doesn't even have to be executive, but recruiting firms and stuff. They're a partner. They're not just a supplier because they're providing this partnership to understand your business and find the right talent and the right people to join your organization, right? So why is as an MSP or an IT company, are we just some supplier that comes in and puts in some gobbledygook tech somewhere and then fixes this when I can't print? It's so much more than that. It's the advice, it's the guidance, it's the counsel, it's that trust that when you make a recommendation, you know, it's either followed or it's not. And if it's not, I would highly recommend that it's well documented and understood that they rejected that.
A little indemnification goes a long ways. Yeah.
Just a slight bit.
All right. Well, this has been an off-the-cuff conversation talking about the MSP and aligning with your vendors. Colin, one last thing that you want to share with the audience before we go.
One last thing. I think overall, just keep having those tough conversations, whether it's internally or externally, right? Realizing that there is power in the collective of the MSP world, right? And understanding that if you have a good experience, you need to share that with other MSPs. And we need to help everybody level up, because a rising tide lifts all boats. If you have a poor experience, you need to share that and you need to work with people. And the only way that our industry is going to keep moving forward and be more successful and more prosperous is by open dialogue and communication, you know, both holding vendors accountable and holding our peers accountable. So that, you know, there is a reality of what is happening in the industry, how things are going, who is good, and what's helping you become successful. Because the more that we all work together, the more we're all going to do better. We're going to have better vendors. We're going to have better partner programs, better products. And we also don't have to carry the whole brunt as MSPs educating the whole market who isn't currently outsourcing, because sure, we can do that all together. So I think there's something to be said about open conversations and not, you know, sitting on a lonely island thinking that you're the only business encountering something or that you have to have all the right answers.
So with that, I'd like to plug MSP Ignite, since it is a peer group for MSPs. And that's where I go, or where I used to go when I was an MSP, to help build that community. And so while this is not exclusive to that group, I want to make sure that if you're an MSP out there and you haven't joined a peer group, you should really consider getting involved in one, because that's where I go to when I need answers. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody that's listening. This has been an episode of MSP 1337. Hope to see you next week.